Leonard Bernstein's Mass is a gigantic, ambitious piece of musical theater. It's about a celebrant officiating a religious mass, surrounded by choir singers and hippies, as they all struggle with faith in the era of Vietnam and social collapse. It features an orchestra, multiple choirs, a marching band, and a wind ensemble, and has elements of avant-garde classical music, rock, blues, and Bernstein's own unique singable style. The LA Philharmonic decided to perform Mass as part of the centennial celebration of Bernstein's life and music this year, and they asked Elkanah Pulitzer back to direct it. Pulitzer, yes, she's related to that Pulitzer, Joseph, father of the famous prize, directed the LA Phil's production of Nixon in China this time last year. John Adams' 1987 opera was ambitious in its own right, and set during the same time, but Mass gave Pulitzer an enormous new challenge. How to make this kitchen sink theater piece cohesive and contemporary, and, just logistically, how to fit that many bodies on the Walt Disney Concert Hall stage. When did you first encounter the Mass?
Actually, it was after having had discussions here at LA Phil with Chad Smith and some of the other people on staff who were asking about my potential involvement with it. And I asked some friends and my mom, who actually, of course, several people who had sort of lived through it in the 70s about it. But that was really the first time. So it was only, I guess, about a year ago or a year and a half.
What was your gut reaction to the work?
Well, my first take was that it's everything but the kitchen sink, for sure. And then as I started to dive deeper into the politics of what Bernstein was attempting to accomplish with the piece, it started to really take on a lot more dimension and a lot more urgency. But I would say for sure the initial thing was I loved sections of it, but I didn't quite get how it was all knit together.
So what was your way into sort of breaking it down or coming up with a cohesive concept or approach to staging it?
Well, I think just, spending a lot of time listening to it, reading several books on Bernstein and looking at the Harvard Norton lectures, because he gave himself a mandate. You can see it on YouTube, where he gave himself 5 minutes to talk about the future of music. And in it, he essentially argues for eclecticism.
I believe that a great new era of eclecticism is at hand. Eclecticism in the highest sense. And I believe it has been made possible by the rediscovery, the reacceptance of tonality, that universal earth out of which such diversity can spring.
That for me was a light bulb moment in terms of realizing that a great many composers who have come since him are really standing on his shoulders in terms of the amount of dialectic and discourse and sort of breaking down of siloed hierarchy in classical music and integrating other forms. And it's something I think we take for granted culturally now, but at the time that he was doing it, it was very much at the forefront.
Exactly how big of a production is it? How many people, ensembles, disciplines are involved in it?
It's a massive show, as we like to say. It's a massive mass. There's 62 in the master chorale, 40 kids, 17 sort of hippie street chorus, and a marching band of almost 30, plus the orchestra, and then at the center of it all, the soloist, the celebrant.
All squeezed onto the Disney Concert Hall stage?
Yes, I laugh as you ask me that because it's absolutely, become critical with a lot of pre-planning to kind of figure out where everybody's going to flow into and how we're going to activate the real true arc of story within this sort of epic scape of lots of warm bodies on stage.
That may be the answer, but what has been the most challenging part of cracking this for you?
Well, that's a really good question. The flowing of people is kind of a, I would say, more of a superficial, just logistical concern, trying to make sure that everybody has a nice space to be in and that it supports really what their role in the overall story is. I think the code cracking comes in tracking the celebrant and what his journey is through the piece. And without giving too much away, I think really deciding to put everything through sort of the lens and the filter of his personal experience becomes an amplified anchor directorially for how to enter into solving any of the challenges that come up in the score. Essentially, there are these meditations that are within the piece, and the first two are orchestral interludes, really, and then the third one actually adds choir as well. And really, in the early days, you know, it's sort of like the celebrant always sets them up as prayer moments, but as one listens to them, you start to hear really a heaven, a purgatory, and a hell state in terms of his prayer. And so it then very quickly, if you're looking at him as the lens, it becomes a very interior expression of his own spiritual journey and struggles, and reflects in parallel what's going on with the hippies who have shown up at this church, asking a lot of very difficult and powerful questions about how one reconciles faith vis-a-vis what's happening in the world of society and politics outside.
Have you kind of kept it situated in the era that it was written in, or have you done something to make it more contemporary?
Well, that's a really great question. I mean, there's certain aspects of the piece musically where it just sounds like 1971, and we wanted to embrace that and not sort of reject it or pretend around it, you know? But the plan and the hope is to really start with that sort of time code, you know, that we're in that era, but that by the end of the piece, we've pretty much drifted into now, so that the final Pax Communion feels very much about being in Disney Hall all together, the audience as congregation, and what are we going to do about the questions that have been raised within the course of the evening.
In some ways, you are becoming a specialist in Nixon-era productions, though.
That's hilarious. Well, it's funny. My mom and dad met in an anti-Vietnam march when my parents were, you know, in Cambridge. And it's funny to look at the old pictures of them and to talk to them about the culture and to be a child of that kind of union that was born out of that time of great questing for utopianism and individual spiritual enlightenment, which is certainly a theme that runs through, I think, the art and the music and the culture of the time in ways that feel brave and super optimistic and that certainly fell flat. But I think the seeds of some of those ideas need to be born and continue again for humanity. So yeah, it's a pleasure to work on 70s material.
Since you mentioned your parents, I was curious, what was it that sort of put the fire in your belly to direct live theater and opera?
Well, I went to a progressive, you know, grade school and pretty much have wanted to direct since I was probably about 5 years old, moving, you know, literally like stuffed animals and toys and in my room on the floor and trying to conscript my cousins into doing little shows with me when we were all hanging out. So it's pretty much been there the whole time. But the introduction to sort of other cultures and other methods of theater making and everything were also sort of infused thanks to their curiosity about art. And my mom was a modern dancer early on, and writing is obviously a big part of the family. So there was a great deal of enthusiasm for just expanding one's consciousness through cultural exposure.
Do you personally have to love the work you're staging in order to do it well or to do it at all?
I think ultimately the answer to that is yes. There has to be some real deep connection. I don't necessarily have to love it, but I have to feel deeply connected to it. And I can question it or have doubts about it. But I think there needs to be a deep respect and a real sense of, on a gut level, really feeling like I have a way in. There needs to be a door into the piece to activate it for me. Otherwise, it won't be served in the way that it deserves, and I won't have the connection that is critical to activate bringing it really truthfully to life.
Do you ever go into a production loving a piece and then leave it hating it?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I'm trying to think if that's ever been the case. I think that, you know, that sort of speaks to falling into some traps earlier in life as a young director. And ultimately, the moments that I felt less connected was because I had lost the door, you know, or it had been compromised in terms of the way in terms of the collaboration. And that, you know, lesson is learned that if that doesn't exist, if that connection doesn't happen, then somebody else should be doing it, you know?
So you kind of already answered this earlier, going back to the Mass, but what do you think is most timely or urgent for a Los Angeles 2018 audience about this piece?
Well, I think that's a really, you know, that's a key question about the piece. What's relevant? Why do it now? And what's interesting in rehearsal is that we've been looking at a lot of video from the 70s of, you know, really early rock videos, Bowie and Jefferson Starship, but then also people like Jimi Hendrix, you know, who's on stage at Woodstock, and Janis Joplin. And there's a real purity to performance at that time that is really sort of lo-fi and not with a bunch of backup singers and moving lights and LED, you know, panels and all that stuff. And reconnecting with that has really been joyful and a really sort of essential piece of the puzzle. Really just in rehearsal, hearing people stand up and sing in the purity that's inspired by that period, with honesty, just being themselves and letting it pour out. Hearing the text that they are singing feels completely relevant to right now. It doesn't feel like a time machine, and the social and political issues that everyone's raising feel right now, like today, people who are dealing with doubt, confusion, fear, loss of loved ones who are fighting overseas, people who are dealing with others who are in jail, or just dealing with doubts around sexuality or engaging and how to love and how to have healthy boundaries. All that stuff is in the piece, and it's that doesn't ever go out of style.
Blessed is the man who loves the Lord.
Leonard Bernstein's Mass, directed by Elkanah Pulitzer and featuring the LA Philharmonic, LA Master Chorale, Los Angeles Children's Chorus, and UCLA Wind Ensemble, conducted by Gustavo Dudamel and starring Ryan McKinney as the celebrant, will be performed at the Walt Disney Concert Hall this weekend, beginning Thursday, February 1st. For tickets and more information, visit laphil.com. For KUSC Out and About, I'm Tim Grieving.